Crescent Fresh. I am Morgellon, the low-tech mystic. And you? Well, you, my friends, would be listening to Hacker Public Radio for January 3rd, 2008. Today's topic, lost audio from Hakon. Alright, thank y'all for tuning in for another wonderful, gotta use those air quotes, wonderful, at least when it's Morgellon doing this, another wonderful episode of Hacker Public Radio. Thank y'all for inviting me into your audio players, and here we go. Today's audio is gonna be some pre-recorded audio. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, so instead of doing the original audio I'd planned for, what we're going to do is I'm going to play back some audio from Hakon, which was a, use those air quotes again, it was a computer conference that the Infonomicon Computer Club, we put together. We had the fancy idea that it'd be fun to do a computer conference, like out in the middle of the field, like where everybody comes and camps out instead of doing it like in a hotel. So we decided to do a little test run this year in Mississippi. And basically what it boils down to is just an excuse for a bunch of us to get together and camp out in a beautiful area of Mississippi, drink some beer and hang out and kind of just unplug for a couple days and just enjoy one another's company. It was a really good time. We had overall a good time. What we're going to do now is I'm going to play some audio of one night. There was alcohol involved, obviously, but we decided to go on a midnight geocache. So if you're familiar with geocaching, then you know what's up. If you've never heard of geocaching, then you need to be hitting Google right now and typing in geocaching. But basically what geocaching is people go out to random locations, either in the woods or in urban environments, and they hide things in little boxes, sometimes camouflage very covertly, and they put the coordinates of the item up on a little trail or a website and then give you clues, and you kind of have to give a starting point and then you follow the trails, and they vary from cache to cache, and it's something fun to do if you've got a GPS receiver. It's definitely something to check out. If you don't have one, and hey, be something to look into. GPS receivers are getting cheap. It'd be a good way to get out of the house and have some fun and still not betray the nerd instincts there. So without any further ado, please enjoy this audio of myself, Droops, and Phibig tramping around the woods in the middle of the night in the middle of the Mississippi, as I probably say 400 times in this audio clip. So I should like beep that out. But you guys get to enjoy it. Yeah, this was just a little background, I guess, before we go into it. Droops is from Mississippi, or was, he had a bunch of geocaches that he had done in the area, and he had several night geocaches, which meant they were only really applicable to be done at night. They involved using a flashlight and reflectors, and you'll hear more about it, but it was a really good time. So basically, it's the three of us, myself, Droops, Phibig, tramping around in the woods. I grabbed my laptop as we were going down to the geocache. So here I've got my tablet PC tramping around in the middle of the woods, and it was a really fun time. So I hope that comes through in the audio, if nothing else. And if nothing else, I don't know. Somebody else will be here tomorrow.
Good evening. I am Morgellon the low-tech mystic. Good evening. I am Morgellon, and time coordinates right now, local time. It is 11:48 on Friday, November 9th, 2008. And we are currently at HACON. And I am hoping that I have enough battery left to document a little geocache that we're getting ready to do in the middle of the night, which is involving reflectors. And we're looking for the reflector as we speak to mark the geocache.
Get that tree right behind it. No, that's just...
And
it's low, like a high foot.
So we're riding around right now. I'm not sure how much battery life I have. I hope this doesn't die in the middle. But I'd like to do a little, see what we can't find here. Maybe this will be horribly terrible to listen to. Maybe this will be entertaining. But this is the good stuff that goes on here at HACON in the middle of Mississippi in the middle of the night. And I hear you thought it'd just be all about penises.
Little dot.
And so we're looking, like, what color are they? Just white? We're looking for a clear reflector, like a bicycle reflector for our listeners at home, perhaps? Like a thumbtack reflector?
Yeah.
As we, what's our current velocity?
About
25 miles an hour as we spotlight trees.
Gravel road.
On a gravel road. And I'm going to pause for the sake of battery life here, because we are recording with Audacity. And hopefully this isn't clipping too much, bouncing around here. I've done it on super low power mode, so we can refine some reflectors, or instead of just listening to the gravel, we will be back in just a second. Oh. Hey guys, we are back, and it is currently, just to give a little roster here, it is myself, Morgellin, Droops, and Phibig, and we have successfully located the reflectors, and Droops has located his walking staff. Perhaps he will speak softly, for he always carries a big stick.
What the fuck's bus? Look at some axe handle in his face.
That's right, Anna. Me running with the laptop. Like,
in rural Mississippi.
But so here we are in the middle of the night, and these reflectors, to give you an idea of the size of the reflectors, these
one old bottle.
These look like thumbtacks, basically. So like a thumbtack that you would use to
sexy.
To post posters up on your wall.
Apparently not a sports player.
But so as we tromp through the woods in the middle of the night here, in the middle of Mississippi, in the middle of nowhere, what's you explain a little bit, if you will, about this geocache, what's involved, and motivation behind it? What are we doing here, tromping through the woods, looking at reflectors?
Okay, geocaching. People hide shit, and they post coordinates for such things with their GPS, and they think it's a really cool spot or a really cool hide. And this one's a night cache, which means it's really hard to do during the day.
Because of the reflectors, obviously.
And when I hid this, I was with my dogs and my wife, and my dogs got down to the bottom of this hill and spooked something. And then we ran through the woods chasing after them, putting reflectors on trees. Until we got pretty lost, and then we said, this is a good spot.
So basically, we were living a wild moment. We traced with, if you will, Hansel and Gretel breadcrumbs.
Yeah. And hundreds of people before us have also lived this moment.
Excellent. And so do we have a...
It was merely, there weren't any night caches in the area, other than the one I hid really far away from town. So I wanted one closer to town for people to get to explore. Because I find it really fun to be tromping in the woods all night for no apparent reason. And a lot of people come out here at night looking for these things. And I hope it doesn't disappoint. And this one has a surprise ending, shall we say. But some people figure out that these guys didn't. I wouldn't have.
Let's see.
Now, the instructions on this are to follow the reflectors until you get to a big, like, X marks the spot kind of thing. And two are definitely not an X.
Negative. But from the school that I've recent college, I know that 2 points do make a vector. If we can find two other points, maybe, right here. And to our left, we notice a whole lot more dots. So somebody's being sneaky, or the quarry that was being chased on this particular day was...
Hiding this cache, we decided to be a complete jackass, but not tell everyone the whole truth. Whenever you see two dots in a tree, that means...
So not only is it chopping through the woods in the middle of the night, but we're also, it's like a little puzzle.
Yeah,
it's
you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 dots ahead of you.
Correct. So in a way, it's just kind of like we're getting to live life for a few scant moments as if we were, say, our favorite hero from The Legend of Zelda. Maybe Mr. Link tromping around the woods in the middle of the night, or other such said adventures.
Mr. Link would definitely be our favorite hero from The Legend of Zelda.
Seeing as how there's such a wide selection. Oh, there's a good ravine there.
There's some briars in it.
And some briars.
Welcome to Mississippi, y'all.
Yeah. Welcome to Mississippi.
You're probably gonna have chicks and poison ivy too.
Yeah. And if you're lucky, that's all you'll take home from Haycon. And because we have quite this little ravine here. And the laptop, we're gonna pass the laptop.
Got it.
Oh, got it.
All right.
I'm gonna hop using ninja powers.
Into briars.
Oh, it burns! It burns!
This is the metals in
it. There we go. Too bad we can't say the same thing for syphilis.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Hopefully we won't find meth.
Avoid the blue barrels. just like in Zelda, you know?
Oh. Yeah, there's a demon there.
Oh. We continue onward.
We hit another one really far out of town where it was raining and I got pissed drunk. We had a bottle of Coke and a bottle of Jack and we just traded the whole way there. Each taking a sip and then going to the next one.
Alright, so here as we come along the trail and we see two dots. So since we've had our little spoiler hint, we know to look for a change of direction.
Sure.
Which we see again, which is once again crossing the big trench, which is a little friendlier this time.
But it was freezing cold, it's raining. And Sawyer and I went to hide this thing, we're drunk. And apparently we went in a bunch of circles. And in reflection.
So
it was a especially mean one, because the geocache was actually hidden in a tree, suspended from a rope. And in daylight, in pretty much pure sight. But at nighttime, no one's gonna be like, oh, what's that hanging from that rope in the tree? And it was a bit of a jackass thing. It's a bunch of hills up and down, slippery. And a lot of people went out there and couldn't find it. Which just made it better.
Better for you, and maybe not so better for them, possibly.
Yeah.
But we noticed here our dots have come to another symbol, which appears to be a cross. We've got three vertical. And five horizontal. And we also have a fallen tree with a tack in it. We must update our quest. Had a... I wonder...
They're pretty damn well built still.
Because these are several years old in the woods.
Excellent. So this cache has existed 4 years.
It's rusted all around it.
The thumbtacks in the same path. So as we approach the tree here, with the cross on it, you notice that the tree's also right next to the road. And there are no obvious reflectors.
Yeah, they are.
Are they? Oh, there they are, right across the street.
Super. Right there.
There we go. Once again, hence the big circles. But so possibly we've discovered another signal that a cross means maybe you're crossing something.
Cross.
Oh, you're right. We're tromping through the woods here and running into each other. It's the middle of the night and the middle of Mississippi and the middle of the darkness itself. So for our listeners at home, while they, I guess, listen to us, if they're still listening. Listening.
Static is.
Yeah, and the clipping, that's me carrying around the tablet as if it were a pizza pie. I'm trying to...
Through the briar-infested crap.
That we are. And,
you're pretty brave. Do you have a skin on that tablet?
No, I don't. Which was bringing me to our next point for those... at home listening, if they'd like to play an at-home game, perhaps we could wager which is more crazy. The fact that we are in the middle of the woods in random Mississippi, or we are in the woods in the middle of the night with just flashlights, or the fact that I'm in the woods in the middle of the night with my laptop just walking around. And try not to fall in trenches, and at least you can't fall into syphilis, right? Okay.
Well, I mean, that'd be one hell of a story.
Right. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. Going across another trench here. I'd like to really apologize for, I'm sure, all the clipping that I'm getting. But we've noticed that, there's our, for a second there, it looked like we lost our path.
Not the path, really.
But our direction. Our direction. Our vector. Because we have both momentum and direction. So we have a vector. Which doesn't necessarily mean we're going anywhere. But
now, the first rule of geocaching is, of course, to mark where you went into the woods at. Like on your GPS, so you can find your way back to your vehicle. Because these reflectors are facing the complete wrong way.
Yeah. Which is a good point to bring up, that if you're going to take your laptop out into the middle of the woods, you know, it might have been a good idea to bring the GPS receiver, you know, in the middle of the woods, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the briars.
Or your friendly Sherpa.
Or the friendly Sherpa. Neither of which are present tonight.
Who am I, buddy? I have shorts on.
Oh, we do. Hey, there's a mushroom.
Oh.
And it is a, I don't know, it is not a type of mushroom that grows in the area that I am from, so I'm not familiar with it, as there are many edible and non-edible, along with magic. I'm not just talking about magic, but I'm talking more about being able to live off the area that you're passing through. And so if you had to be stuck out in the woods because you got lost with reflectors, could you at least know what to eat that wouldn't kill you? And 5 big notes is a big cluster. You notice any particular shape? No, it's a cluster. Perhaps a cluster fuck. on a stump. Let's see. We have a stump that kind of looks like a cross, or more of a plus with the dot.
It is a bucket.
It is a bucket. So I can see reflectors. I hope that's our vehicle.
That is our vehicle.
Okay, so we have cleverly just walked a... However long you've been listening to this, minus a little bit of editing out, us walking in a big circle. So at least geocaching gets us, along with using our creativity to find the bucket that's right on the ground in front of us, we also get a little exercise.
Apparently somebody did not hide this thing back to where I had it.
So
that's definitely not my container.
Popcorn.
So we've had the container possibly upgraded, which is that's kind of neat. Somebody's going to come behind a geocache and I don't know, is that a good thing?
Yes, there was probably something wrong with the container, or someone stole the container,
or is this the container?
Nope.
No, so we have.
So apparently someone has replaced the container with a container that's in a container.
So they have upgraded. So yes. Not only have they enjoyed your cache, but noticed that, you know, hey, something's going wrong here. And let's do something too.
One of the positive things about the geocaching community here in Mississippi is they will look after other people's stuff.
So as we open the container, if you will, Fivebig, will you explain what you're seeing there in the the second bucket?
In the second bucket, you have your basic geocache goodies. Of course, in your Ziploc bag, we have the logbook, and
it's like a little
a fun. Coin?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
and then, of course, on the inside of the container, you have your various trading trinkets. You've got a little, like, Tupperware thing here.
Very small Tupperware.
There might have been
container.
Something in there at one point. You've got a nice bag clip for the Mississippi Department of Agriculture and Commerce. And in case you were wondering, Lester Spell Jr. is the commissioner of that.
Excellent.
And we've got a little key ring here, some cars.
We had a cache that was named Plastic Container.
Yeah.
It was one of the oldest caches in the state. And they do a lot of controlled burning around here. And apparently it was found after a controlled burn.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman working for the Park Service that found it looked into what was going on and actually replaced it with a metal ammo can. And much better than it had been.
So not only maintained, but upgraded.
But upgraded. Because, I mean, fire kind of melts stuff. Well, let's sign this logbook.
So, yeah, let's open this Ziploc bag, which has our well-preserved toy coin and a memo book. And let's read through here.
It was cash apparently replaced spring of 2007. And Push Mataha found it. And WebChimp found it. And since it's been replaced, three people.
We have another date. So what are the dates that it's been found on?
October 20, October 21. And September 2nd.
Of this
apparently.
Year. So all three recent finds after
they
a replacement
have an ink pen.
This spring.
All right.
And there was an ink pen included in the bag.
Awesome.
So let us... record the fact that we have located this geocache. Writing down who we are and
what's
that we're
date, gentlemen?
At HACON. It is November. Oh, I said that at the beginning of the broadcast here, but I will verify the
11.
Current time coordinates, space time coordinates. It is now 12:10 on November 10th, 2007.
Spectacular. Sign your name, Thoa.
Temporal shifting.
And that's apparently my geocaching name. Try not to have the same name in different organizations.
Because as we learned earlier, our hero Link, you know, I mean, he changed his name up. You know, every game wasn't the same. You got to do something to keep it fresh. So, otherwise, Ganon can easily track you down as you're reborn through the many generations of Hyrule.
And you don't just sign your name if you want to write something inspirational or anything. You're welcome to do such things.
Take a moment to
inspire the young.
Here.
Oh,
That is kind of convenient how the truck's right there.
That it is, seeing as how it was just brought up that we didn't have a GPS device and that we could be stranded after walking very far in the woods, following reflectors that are no longer facing the direction that we were walking. So I'm going to leave a note here in this pad and say Morgillon was here at Hakon Beta, because this is a beta test of our con. And
so Alpha was the summer me and you living together?
I guess so. And, yeah. So I don't know what I guess what syphilis is release candidate one.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah. So we're gonna enjoy.
What's something that you die of in Oregon Trail?
Oh. Syphilis? Can you not have syphilis? Dysentery. 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 Oh, dude.
Apparently, this one should be called dysentery.
Dysentery. So, draw a little happy face. And no thumbs up. And we're going to replace everything back into the bag.
And try to hide it better than we found it.
Because apparently it's not supposed to be just laying on the ground. Even though when it is on the ground and right in front of you, it is still a challenge to find.
I really think this tree used to be laid over there. And it was probably cut up for firewood by somebody.
It looks like it had a little termite damage, though.
Yeah.
It's definitely...
well, not gonna be pristine firewood, but whatever. If it's free, it's free. Cash and Tanner would probably take it.
Metal ammo cans are usually pretty collectible by the rednecky people.
Hmm. All right, let's hide this thing good. How soft is this ground it was at?
Well, it looks like we can see it was buried several inches.
Yeah,
covered with leaves.
Yeah.
And not to mention that we have the fact of darkness to aid in this
endeavor.
Exactly. See, and once again, we find ourselves just like Link. We're traveling back and forth between worlds of light and dark.
Far away from the cache.
Yeah.
Something over that white top.
Yeah. So we placed a nice log on top of our can and covered everything up with leaves, which were not taken directly from the area of the can, because that would be kind of obvious. So, and we're making it quite more hidden. So not only do you have the darkness, but you have the evil powers, much like Ganon, working against you.
Now, too many sticks is obvious.
So if it's...
Leaves are good.
Leaves are good.
Too many sticks looks like you're hiding something under some sticks.
So we have a professional tip here.
So, we had a cache in a city that apparently was near a park. And some young folks found it and decided to steal it and move it about 20 feet, covered up with stuff, and hide cigars inside of it. Still in their individual wrappers, which they apparently didn't know what was going on, because they were hiding a metal container in the woods from guys who, for a sport, find metal containers in the woods. So, yeah, it was found pretty quick, and I had a bunch of free cigars.
Excellent.
Would y'all like to find a cemetery? Yeah.
So we are now... We have completed our quest for the geocache. Five-Egg has successfully re-hidden the cache very skillfully. And we are now going to go see a cemetery, which kind of makes a little bit more sense in the middle of the night. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know if anything makes sense at this point, but... You know, lack of sleep makes cool, fun stuff, and hopefully fun listening. So we're going to walk back to the truck, and maybe we'll pick back up here if we can locate the cemetery, if we can find the reflectors. I don't know, do souls have reflectors?
I believe they might in some form, one way or another.
Maybe some spirit orbs? I don't know, we don't have any real real-time technology here. But
what's the matter?
I don't know, just rambling.
Watch yourself.
Oh, thank you. As we're driving down the road, and I'm sure we're clipping some more, we're going to get a little
description here of the cemetery that we're headed towards.
The cemetery, this whole park, is very near a place I used to live. And after I quit living there, I drove past it on the big highway going home from then on out. And this cemetery is on the USGS maps, and it's several acres large. And I really think they had just there. They were like, it's in here. So it took me a long time to find this thing. And it took a lot of research and noticing the way the land is laid out to figure out where they would build a cemetery. Because in my mind, building a cemetery on a hillside is really dumb.
Right.
So the first thing I did was check all the flat land inside that big area they'd marked out. And it wasn't there. So then I went looking around and traipsing up and down, and I had friends come out. And eventually we found where we thought a house had been. So we said, maybe the cemetery is near this house. There used to be a community here. 100 years ago, there was a post office near here. And there's nothing now. It's just a couple mobile homes and an old shop. And the cemetery, I've only found two or three tombstones here. But they're cool looking. And it's a nice little walk down this nice, easy walk.
Excellent. So not maybe searching for reflectors.
No.
Just searching for briars. Excellent.
Thanks for the drink there, Magellan.
No problem. Thanks for the tour.
Nothing large.
Hey, no problem, dude.
There's a very creative hide that damn near impossible to find at night that I will take y'all to tomorrow. That is the briar ant tip trip. And,
which are all still better than syphilis.
Which are all still better than syphilis. The guy that I hit it with, I think stole it.
Hey, there's a shotgun shot.
Yeah. Because he got kind of mad at me one day. And the stick that I'm carrying right now, there was one very similar to it hidden at this cache at its inception. And I think he wanted it. And I think he just went up there and took it and took the cache. Because, as we'll find out tomorrow, no one stumbled upon this randomly a week after it was hidden. And I actually found this cemetery at night with a flashlight on the way home to see my girlfriend. I just stopped by, so I thought, it's in my head, I know where it is, and it was exactly where it was. After months of searching. Not constant searching, but
a lot of preparation. Was this just like a moment of revelation?
Where you just I'm sitting in class daydreaming, and I realize, hey,
epiphany.
That's where it is. And that's where it was. And we'd actually walked through the area, but we were looking for a much larger cemetery. According to the park lady, it had a gate, and she was referring to a completely different one. Apparently, she couldn't read the map that I showed her. I was like, what's this cemetery look like? Where is it? She's like, oh, it's got a big gate, but there's one about the same spot if you turn south off of this road on the left-hand side. Instead of turning north and going left. But you're according to the map, you're in the cemetery right now. You've been so since we parked. And we found on the left here what we thought was a house that's a little ways down here. And I've yet to figure out where exactly this road ends up. So we walked until we couldn't walk anymore. And it just kind of keeps on going like this, and it's a road.
And this clearly looks like an old road for what? I don't know. By its deterioration, what do you think, like? 40s?
Okay, across the little gravel road we're on,
mm-hmm.
is a continuation of this road. And see how it's like this bank's really high?
Right.
This is an old road. Like, this is wagons on this fucker. And I think this is the road that just continued on to the next town. And now we, you know, drive past it at 65 miles an hour, you know, right over there.
And it lays forgotten.
That it used to be this road. I mean, the bank's now taller than we are.
All right, we're looking at a bank that's 8 feet, 9 feet?
Yeah.
At least in the dark.
On both sides.
And no reflectors?
No reflectors.
Which, walking in cemeteries in the middle of the night is always fun.
Kind of spooky.
Kind of spooky.
I used to put my... Oh. You never know what you're going to stumble upon.
That is true.
And if I came across some guy that decided he was going to shoot me for trespassing on federal land, then by damn I was going to scare the shit out of him as I'm running away. On the left, you can look at it and say there used to be a building here.
So while we're out here walking around and well after midnight, in the middle of the night, searching for the destinations to old forgotten roads, cemeteries, and stuff like that, one maybe led to the question of not only why you do this, but what inspires somebody to go out? What draws you to do this? What got you interested in this kind of thing? Yeah. Because it's definitely interesting, and we clearly are out along with you, sharing in the experience and enjoying it. So, but what gets one interested in?
Student of history, and this is a lot of forgotten history, and I can't really, you know, do a lot of history discovery, you know, just as a college student or now as a self-employed dude. I'm working all the time. But I can do simple things like this. Yeah, I think we definitely went past it. Let's go a little bit farther.
Okay.
Because this is history that people don't know that we can find. And it's like I'm discovering something again, which is what history kind of is. There was a lot of cemeteries in the South that were destroyed, or the buildings around were destroyed during the Civil War, or the aftermath of the Civil War. Okay, during the day, I think this is it. Or, obviously, it's it. I think.
Okay. Well, let's see. The tree's been marked. I don't know if that's...
No.
Coincidental?
If you notice, the bank kind of slopes, like somebody's walked up this a bunch of times. And... during the day, you can see a lot better. The trees are just a little different, like someone had planted them for a purpose. And apparently, somebody's hunting through here.
Yeah, we do see it.
Let's take the hunting trail, shall we?
So, yeah. So now we find ourselves once again on another quest. Possible hunting trail, possible geocache, possible vampires, zombies. Sticks, yeah, possible sticks. Oh, and we have a cemetery. And we have one, two markers, three.
Yeah, there's that little one.
So we have one, it's almost kind of like a small obelisk. It's about 3.5 to 4 feet, no, 3 feet in size on its base. And then, your regular tombstone.
Born September 11th. 1861. Civil War started, 1861. And died 1909. Good deal. He was a Mason, apparently.
As we noticed by the symbols on the tombstone. And this is the one that is, as I thought from a distance, was shaped like an obelisk. But... it's not an obelisk.
This is Violet, the wife of Munro Stevens, who died August 28, 1905, 63 years old. Gone but not forgotten.
And the people that weren't supposed to forget are apparently dead too.
But she clearly is not forgotten because we are here. And in some way, she's on. And this itty bitty little stone next to it.
Is there writing on it?
It appears.
Initials.
Is this an M and an A?
It appears. Thing, let's say maybe her granddaughter is this one, and she's buried on top of the old lady.
Very popular thing to do.
And those are the only two I've ever found, or three, for this, you know, multi-acre cemetery. Been off the finger in the day and night.
Well, this is definitely very interesting. And very fun. And it's definitely a nice refresher from the rigmarole of everyday life.
I used to volunteer for the USGS mapping service in the Map Corps, where we would identify things that need to go on maps. Like, the government makes maps of everything, and they are strategic maps, if nothing else. When you use a compass to orient where you're going, you need something that's identifiable on the map that you can see. So, like a church or a water tower.
Something as a reference point.
Yes.
To guide you from.
And they like to keep these things updated, because church is coming up.
Churches mostly come. Dead people don't move.
And usually. There's a lot of cemeteries on these things, and I was really into the cemetery thing, and I thought, hey, I can get free maps, and I can add all these cemeteries to these USGS maps. But apparently, after I got the information, they don't give a shit about cemeteries. Which makes me believe this is not a map of the area, this is a strategic map that if they ever have to take Mississippi, they want to know where the high points are.
The strategic locations.
Yeah.
Or where they want to be, and not necessarily what the history, what was once here.
Which I think if they're going to have a quad map of everything in the United States, they need to have stuff on it. Like, they build, they, you know, put little squares where there's houses, but they can do that with satellites. And I think they should keep track of where cemeteries are. Just important stuff. The old one I used to live in was, defiled, because it was one of these hidden old lost cemeteries, and someone stole all the tombstones and built a land development, you know, housing development on top of it. And during the project, they discovered they were building it on top of the graveyard, fortunately. And then they found all the tombstones dumped in the creek, very nearby. And the lady that told me this story, I think, had defiled the guy that had started, you know, the land development, and she felt had moved all the tombstones. I think she had moved his in the middle of the night because he was dead. Because, you know, what goes around comes around. And I'm not into desecrating the dead, but if you move somebody's tombstone to be a jackass and make some money, then you don't really deserve to have one.
Which also goes back to, you know, I mean, put yourself in some golden rule. You know, do unto others as you would wish done to you.
Yeah. She's a one crazy lady.
As apparently the three of us are.
Yeah.
Screwed.
So is this a Ninja Night School radio episode?
No, Ninja Night School has long since died.
Okay.
Believe that died. I'm sure it died. Just if you go back and check the date, as we've actually experienced 2 days in this recording. Our temple shifting all at once as we
So this is a sound
supernatural.
Tour?
Yes, this is a supernatural sound tour of the Hakon experience.
Well, tomorrow night I will take y'all to a massive abandoned cemetery. It's hella spookier than this little thing. And we'll go around and read all the names.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to recharge my laptop battery so that we can share this experience with the listeners, if there are any listeners.
Yeah, all this, according to the map, in the cemetery. We've been making pretty good time, clever on, you know,
flat ground since then. Nice clear trail.
But it is a very old road, which is, it's kind of interesting. As we're walking along, some parts are very soft, much like sand, well-worn, and some places are more like an old cracked stone pavement.
Well, you notice we're on a natural ridge.
Is that what I'm seeing here? Because it's dark. So
well, there's those.
But
if you go too far on either side, you're going to fall down a hill.
Okay.
Like that tombstone, or those graveyards were, or that graveyard was on a hill. Which leads me to believe maybe there were more tombstones, and they've either been knocked over
or washed away. Right.
And I've barefoot tramped all through there looking for them, and those are the only three.
And the battery died.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed the audio of the midnight rambling in the woods. And if nothing else, well, you have a new party game. So everybody take a drink. Anytime I mention Mississippi or being in the woods, double shot for syphilis. You know, you guys build on from there. You guys are a creative bunch. But nothing else. Thanks for tuning in today for a Hacker Public Radio. And stay tuned for another fantastic episode. No air quotes needed when it's not me. And wonderful episode of Hacker Public Radio coming at you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net. So head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.